It's so important that we hear God's voice. This is the third part in a series of whose voice are you hearing? Whose voice are you hearing? There are many, many voices speaking today. There are many opinions, many persuasions, many philosophies, many religions, many voices that are speaking. And if we are listening to all these voices, we can just get quite confused as to what is real, what is factual. If you watch the news, you can watch one news media, and not, in fact, a lot of them are saying the same thing. I think they're kind of like working together, you think? But there's a certain message you get there. But if you look at alternative sources of news, you're getting other messages from there. And if you spend too much time listening to CNN and Fox and the news networks, you're just going to be confused as to what is really going on. Maybe not you, but I get confused if I do. How many know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we ask the question, what is really going on? And the bottom line, folks, in all of this is that we have a creator, God, amen, who speaks from heaven. He speaks to us by his Holy Spirit in the earth. And we need to be able to identify the voice of our creator. Would you say amen to that? Amen. So that we can distinguish the voice of truth from everything else that may appear to be true, but there's something missing. There's something fallible about a lot of the messages that we're hearing. A lot of the reports we're getting, they don't jive, they contradict. And there is much confusion in the world. How many know that as followers of Jesus, we should not be confused? Because God is not the author of confusion. But he's the author of peace. So you need to allow the peace of Christ to rule in your hearts. You need to be able to identify the voice of Jesus speaking through the mix. You know, when we play in a band, we have different instruments, and there's this thing called 100% rule. That's when everybody plays 100% all of the time. Now, that is a sign of a band that has not really been seasoned. They are usually just people getting together and let's just make music. But then as you get more refined in what you're doing, you begin to realize that there's times when I don't need to play. I just need to be quiet and let somebody else play. There's a thing called dynamics where you can swell, you know, and then come down. And so there's a lot of dynamics that go into making music. For example, the lead guitar, when he's supposed to do a lead out, he needs to be able to have his equipment set in such a way that lead is going to cut through the mix, as we say. It's going to cut through all the din and the noise and everything else going on, all the music. So it's going to stand out. And you know, that's God's voice. It's an example of we need to be able to hear God's voice even in the midst of all the din and all the noise. We need to be focused. We need to be, you know, concentrating on hearing from him. And we need to cultivate a relationship with him so that we begin to identify his voice. And when we know his voice, we will not follow another God. Are you with me? We will know the voice of truth. And Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free or set you free. You won't be deceived if you know what is true. You won't be in confusion. You won't be in bondage. You won't be in fear if you know the voice of truth, who speaks through the din, through the noise, through all the voices that are going on. We need to be able to identify the voice of truth. We need to know the voice of God. In Matthew 4 and verse 4, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So, what did he mean by that? He means man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's what he means. And so the key is knowing what God is saying. Folks, if you and I don't know what God is saying, we will be deceived. We will be duped by all the confusion and the noise and the other voices that are speaking, because we are in the midst of a spiritual battle. We are surrounded with God's glorious angels. There's more for us than against us. But at the same time, we also have demonic forces that are warring against us, trying to destroy God's people. And doing a pretty good job in some cases, because we're not listening for the voice of God, and we're listening to too many other voices. Sometimes we're looking for the voice of God through other people, and we don't seek to know him ourselves. And so we jump around from person to person, from personality to personality, to try to hear a word from God. Do you have a word from God for me? Come on. And there are many Christians that are just, they're duped and they're confused and sometimes shipwrecked in their faith because they don't know the voice of God for themselves, and they depend on somebody else to tell them what God is saying. John 6 and verse 63, Jesus said, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." Hallelujah. Do you know they're discovering, of course, science is always discovering what the Bible already says. But they're discovering now that there's a connection between sound and sight. I was listening to a tape by one. She did a lot of investigation into this, and she's using scripture to support this. And I'm just like, this is so exciting. This is so, it's so interesting to discover that sight and sound are actually, sight is actually something that's produced through sound. Can you believe that pew you're sitting in is actually held together by sound? Well, we're not going to get off on that track today, but I'm going to tell you there's a connection. When God said, when God spoke, it was. Amen? Let there be light, and there was light. When he spoke the stars, amen? And the moon and the sun and all the planets and everything, he placed everything in its perfect order to provide a habitation for us on this little blue planet called Earth. Everything in its place. Come on, if the sun gets a little too close to us, we fry. If it goes farther away, we freeze. God's put everything in its place. We're without excuse. Well, I don't believe in God. Well, I might tell you what the Bible says about that. But sight and sound. God spoke. It came to pass. How many have discovered that what you say to people can hurt them or help them? Power of life and death is where? In the tongue, right? So Jesus, when he spoke, he was speaking the words that the Father was speaking. That's why he could say that these words that I'm speaking to you are producing life, because they are life. Amen. Have you ever noticed that you can change the atmosphere of your mind and even your environment if you put on some good praise worship music? I mean, you can come into a stressed out day, a situation where you walk into the house, it's like, but you put on that praise word, all of a sudden everything begins to just to change. And it's like, ooh, just bask here for a while in the river. And that same sound is producing life. And yet I believe too, folks, that music can produce death, because it sounds, amen. And what we need is a sound from heaven. What is a sound that God is releasing in the earth? Now, there are sounds that we had done 30 years ago that have some anointing on them. I'm sorry, you may disagree with me, but that's okay. I'm speaking now. And I love some of those old songs because I remember a lot of those. But, you know, there's a freshness that comes from heaven. And God releases a new sound, and it's just something about it that's just like, wow, if we can tap into what God is doing, what God is saying. God speaks through sounds, folks. He communicates through sounds. That's why music is such a blessing for us. And music can produce, even in doing experimentation, even in your body, it can help you or it can hurt you. There's certain frequencies that we use now, 444 hertz, you know, where it's actually more of the natural rhythm of your body and the frequency of your body. So it can actually be beneficial, healthy for you to listen to music played at a certain frequency. Now, Jesus speaks what he hears. He does what he sees his Father do. So Jesus received the Spirit without measure. Jesus, amen, was the Word of God, God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, who became a man. Would you agree? Okay. But he became fully man in the sense that he took upon himself the image of Adam, like you and I, became like us. Yet the Virgin, amen, had conceived, because it was a supernatural conception as the Holy Spirit overshadowed her and the seed was placed within her. Otherwise, the blood would have been linked to Joseph or some other man, and that seed would not qualify to be the sacrifice for sin. Why? It would be tainted by sin like all of us. And so Jesus became, amen, a man. God became a man in the Son. And to do what? To redeem us, to bring us back to the Father. And so when Jesus walked here, he modeled what it is to hear and speak the Father's words. And when he spoke, he said these words are spirit and they're life-giving. They will produce life in those who hear them, because they're not my words, he said, but they're my Father gives me what I need to say. And so as followers of Jesus, we need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, and we need to speak what the Holy Spirit is saying. It's not good enough just to give a nice, neat little sermon. We need to preach what God is preaching. Amen. You can have it all put together and so nicely packaged, and yet it can be void of life if we're not listening to God's voice. And so what we need to do is learn how to hear his voice and walk like Jesus walked. When he went on, when he ascended on high, before he left, he gave the commission to go what? And make disciples, followers, right? Learners, students in a sense. Teach them to observe everything I taught you. Everything. So we look at Jesus' life. We look at his example. That's who we want to be like. We look at what he taught his disciples. And so if it doesn't look like Jesus, are you with me? If it's not modeled even by the disciples, then question it. Because there's a lot of stuff that's being presented today that it's like, where did they get that? That don't look like Jesus. That don't look like anything the disciples were teaching. Come on. It might feel good. It might even give you goosebumps. But if it ain't from God, it's illegal. So the Word and the Spirit always cooperate. They come together in agreement. And Acts 4:31, it says, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they what? Spoke the Word of God boldly. They spoke the Word of God with boldness. So you see the connection where the Spirit and the Word are in agreement. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. Do you see the Word and the Spirit in cooperation? Amen? You cannot separate Jesus from the Word, because he is the Word. Because we can say, well, I see what the Bible says, or I see what Scripture says, but I feel like this. Has anybody ever done that? You saw what it said, but I didn't really feel like that. I really didn't feel like I wanted to do that, or like maybe that was even a good idea. Okay, not just me, I guess. But See, this is the stuff that gets us in trouble. This is the stuff that puts us in bondage, because the Spirit and the Word agree. And if we will agree with the Spirit and the Word, amen, and get in alignment with what God is saying and hear what He's saying and say what He's saying and do what He's doing, if we walk with Him as one, amen, we will bear much fruit. The Father will be glorified. Our lives will end up the way they should. At the end of the road, we're going to see a smile on Jesus' face. Why? Because He knows us. Because we walked with Him. Because we heard His voice. You know what? Jesus didn't have what His own agenda, and neither should we. It's not what I think is a good idea, even about building a church. It's like, God, what do you want to do? How do you want to do this? What do you want us to do? We're here to serve. You saved us for a reason. You saved us so that we would serve. Amen? Yeah, He didn't save us to be served. And that's the mentality in much of the church today. It's like, I'm here to serve, now serve me. No, God saved you. If anything, you should be thankful and say, thank you, Jesus, you saved me. Now what can I do for you? Yeah. It doesn't mean you have to take the offering, sing in the choir, teach a Sunday school class. But it might. God may call you to do those things, but it does mean that you are to serve Him on a daily basis, where you work, what you do. You are an ambassador representing Him. So the Word of God is what we live on. It's our bread. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Most of the time I used to think, well, yeah, we certainly need to eat. How many are just thinking about daily bread? When I was a kid growing up, I was thinking, yeah, it'd be nice to have some more Wonder Bread, you know? No wonder we're so messed up. There's no nutrition in that stuff. But it's not talking about just this type of bread. I believe it has two meanings. It does mean, you know, God will take care of your physical needs. But He said, if you will focus on Me, seek My kingdom, seek Me first, put Me first, my will first in your life, then I'll take care of the natural food. But He's saying, give us this day our daily bread. My daily bread, my food is to hear My Father speak. His voice is literally life to me. Life and health even to my bones and to my body. How many know that the Lord can speak a word into your life and heal you? We say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. And what did He say? He spoke in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Those words are what God was saying in that moment. And because He spoke what God spoke, there was the manifestation of the glory and the power. Amen. The manifestation of the miracle in the sight of people on the earth realm. I know there's a simpler way to say that. But do you see that when we align ourselves with what God is saying, if we're hearing and we're speaking and we're doing what we see Him doing, that we perceive in our hearts, we know in our hearts, not necessarily does God always give a vision, but today, you know, God showed Nancy something, and you know, that was what we call a word of knowledge. Amen? She received a word of knowledge from the Holy Spirit for someone here. And because that person stepped out in faith, boom, right? So it was what was spoken in the hearing that produced faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Now, I mentioned this last week. We want to hear God's voice. We need to be tuned in to what God is saying. And because His Word is life to us, it's our bread. His Word literally strengthens, nourishes, sustains, encourages, saves us. You can't be saved except you hear the message of the gospel. You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit except first learning about the Holy Spirit. Through what? Through the spoken word. And so outside the boundaries of God's Word, there is death. This is what we also need to understand. That it's not okay. It's not okay just to do anything. Or like Wayne said this morning, to just do good stuff. We've been talking about this for weeks, but, you know, it's true. It's not enough just to do good things or do good stuff. What matters is that we do what God says to do. And the only way you're going to do what God says to do is that you know His voice. That you're able to discern His voice through all the mess, through all the mix. That His voice comes through clearly because you are focused. You're worshiping. You're seeking the Lord. Are you with me? We need to be seeking. We need to be searching for the voice of God in the mix. There's times when we're confused as to what to do. And so we'll take our time and set ourselves apart and say, God, I need to hear from you. God, show me what's going on. And sometimes you may have to, it seems for a while, you just need to travail in prayer and seek the Lord and pray and cry out and worship and then be quiet. That's a hard thing. To just be quiet. How many have ever have lost something and you get all stressed out about it and you're searching high and low looking for whatever you lost, you know? And then finally you stop and you say, okay, think. Where did you leave it? And once you calm down, all of a sudden it's like, boom, the light comes on. You know what? The Lord speaks to us often that way. He's waiting for you to quit the tantrum. Quit the fussing. Quit the complaining. Once you stop with that, then He says, okay, now maybe I can talk to you. Because I'm not going to talk to you until you straighten out. He don't like it when we complain, you know. Because it shows a lack of faith in Him. In John 1:4, it says, in Him, Christ, was life. In Him, in Christ, was life. And the life was the light of men. So if in Him is life, what would outside of Him be? Thank you. If you're not in Him today, then you're actually in death. Now we say, well, I'm living. I'm alive. I got a pulse. We're talking about spiritual life. You have a soul and you have a body, yes. But you must be born of the Spirit. You must be spiritually regenerated by the Holy Spirit. You must, as Jesus said, be born again. So outside of Christ, outside of God is what? Death. But inside is life. In Him is life. So when we are in Christ, we are in life. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were what? They were removed. Or they removed themselves. As soon as they decided to ignore the voice of God and to listen to another, they took themselves outside of that covering and they put themselves into death. And the only way for them to be restored in that fallen state was for God Himself to become like us. Are you with me? And to pay the price for the violation, for the sin, for the transgressions. And to put it to rest, amen, at the cross. Jesus paid the price that we deserve to pay. And when He rose again on the third day, hallelujah, amen. Those who are in Christ also will raise with Him, will rise again. When we receive Christ, the Bible says in Ephesians that we are raised up together with Him. We are born of His Spirit, we become spiritually alive again. So what did Jesus do? He came to bring us back into Himself. So what did God do? He had a step. I want you to hear this. He had a step out of Himself. And He had a step into humanity. To bring us, humanity, back into Himself. In Him is life. And so outside of Him, if you're not in Christ, you're actually not alive spiritually. You're still separated from God. And so Jesus paid a high price. He paid the highest price for our sin, for our redemption. He was crucified for us to bring us back into relationship with the Father. And so our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. In the Spirit. Everything that we see is created and held together by the Word of God. Hebrews 1:3 says Jesus Christ is talking about Jesus Christ here. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, speaking of the Father. Jesus told Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I came to represent the Father. And so he is the brightness of his glory, Jesus is, and the express image of the Father. And listen, he is upholding all things by the word of his power, by the word of his power. When he had himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Who's holding it all together? Jesus. By how? By the word of his power. Now, Peter was speaking of false prophets here, but I want you to take a look at something in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5. He's talking about those who willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of water and in the water. We're talking about the pre-flood earth here. And even scientists, again, are discovering what the Bible already said, that there was a swaddling band, that there was water above the earth. It was encapsulated in water. And we noticed that man lived hundreds and hundreds of years prior to the flood. But then that swaddling band had been ruptured and the waters fell from the heavens, and also the fountains of the deep were broken up, and the great deluge swept away the entire earth at that time. And so we're seeing here that by that word, you know, everything was held together, and that the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth was standing out of water and in the water. In other words, everything is kept sustained by God's word. By which word, same word, the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. And it's interesting that you can go anywhere in the globe today and there's evidence of a tremendous flood. And they all have stories, that even the natives way out in the boonies, they've got stories of a deluge. And many of them talk about this boat and these people in a boat and how they were saved through this great flood. There are a little bit twisted versions of it, but you know, they're all saying basically the same thing. And obviously the geological evidence is that there was a flood that flooded the entire earth, not just a geographic location, but the entire. But then it says, but the heavens, verse 7, and the earth, which are now, say which are now, preserved by the same word that God spoke, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God judged the world by water the first time. The second or the last time, it's going to be renovated by fire. But if you're in Christ, you're in life, you're in his protection, you don't have to worry about that. See, it's the God haters that will be involved in that judgment. It's the people who heard the love of the truth, but they refused it. They will be given a strong delusion. They will believe a lie and they will be condemned. And God has every right. Why? Because God gave his very best. He gave his only begotten son on our behalf. Jesus suffered a horrible death that we deserve to pay. And because if we refuse such a great salvation, we will receive what we deserve. You see, God is not willing that anyone should perish. God does not want people to perish. That's why it was in his heart to send Jesus to die for us. Because God so loved you, so loved the world. But God is just, and God must judge sin. And the good news is that God already judged sin. He already judged sin at the cross. He placed the sins of the world upon Jesus. That if we will receive him, we would not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. I want you to read something that Jesus spoke, and it was recorded in Matthew 24 and verse 37. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat. How many know that God is not opposed to weddings and parties and banquets? It's not. So don't get the idea that God's against all that. He's not. The problem was that man had rejected God altogether. People didn't realize what was going to happen. Verse 39. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. How many today would agree with me that people today do not know what's really happening? Most people today don't have a clue what is really happening right now. Most people today, their entire world revolves around what somebody tells them, what somebody else is feeding them, some other voice is speaking to them. Are you with me? And they're forming opinions based upon hearsay, without any fact, without any real reality to it, because truth is what's really real. And so they listen to all these voices, and they listen to news media, and they're getting their ideas from this, and their ideas are being formed by what they're hearing. And many people are looking over here and not realizing what's happening right in front of them. Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah. We're living in the days of Noah again. We're living in the time when people have rejected God and are thumbing their nose at God and are rejecting the love of the truth. We're living in a time when even science is getting involved in all kinds of crazy experimentation with DNA and tampering and trying to cross breeds, and there's all kinds of tampering with God's original order, and God does not want it because the devil's behind it. The devil is a perverter of what God makes beautiful. The reason why things are broken, the reason why there's suffering, the reason why there's problems in the earth is because man has fallen from grace, because man is not in him who is life, but man is outside of him who is life. Man is in death. And that is why we see what's happening in the world is we have multitudes of people who are not in life. And you and I have the answer. You and I know the truth. You and I know that it's Jesus who is our life, that Jesus is the only answer. The only way for people to be saved and to escape the wrath of God that's coming and the fire of judgment that's coming is for people to get into Christ, to get aboard the ark of His safety. Yeah. Eight people were saved in Noah's day. God moved him and his family into the ark. And it says that the Bible says that God Himself closed and sealed that door. Folks, we have an opportunity now. We have, today is the day of salvation. Today is the opportunity for us to be saved and to get our hearts right with God, to get on board the ark. That ark represents Jesus, our ark of safety. So that we should not be like others walking in darkness, not aware of what's happening in the times that we're living in, that God is standing at the door. The judge is standing at the door, folks. Hallelujah. That should not be a scary thing for us, but it should get us moving to say, you know what? People need to know. Don't believe the reports. Don't believe the stuff you're being told. Don't listen to those voices. Listen to this book. Listen to what God says. This is an eternal word. This word will produce life in you. It's able to save you. Listen to what God is saying from heaven. See that you don't refuse Him who speaks from heaven. Oh, so much today, we're just hearing the sweet stuff, the watered down stuff, the compromised gospel, the gospel of accommodation. Let's just make everybody feel good. Folks, I want people to feel good. I want to feel good. But I've discovered sometimes you have to feel bad before you can feel good. Amen. Sometimes you need a slap in the face and say, wake up, what are you doing? You're heading for destruction. Someone throw a life preserver and say, listen, you need to accept Jesus. Yes. He's the only way, the truth, and the life. No one's going to come to the Father but by Him. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not any other. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God. God said in the days of Noah, Genesis 6:3, He said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever. In other words, God has got a grace time. He's got a grace period. Even as it was in the days of Noah, it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. We need to look back and see what was happening then and look at what's happening today. And we're in those days again, folks, and it's time for us to wake out of slumber, out of sleep. It's time for us to get right with God so that we'll be in the position for God to fill us with the Holy Spirit and use us to reach others for Him. We need to quit listening to the other voices. We need to listen to the voice of truth. Even if it doesn't feel good. Even if it's not popular. Even if it means my friends don't accept me anymore because I don't believe like they do anymore. I found out who my friends really were. When I came to Jesus and I wasn't dancing to that beat anymore. I didn't want to lose my friends, and thank God I was able to lead a couple of them to Jesus. We said it earlier today, throughout the earth today, thousands and thousands and thousands, thousands of believers are being killed. They're being martyred. They're being tortured. They're being imprisoned for this gospel, for this faith, folks. This is the reality of what we're in. We are in a spiritual battle, and there's no time for us to be playing patty cake with the devil, patty cake with the world. Amen. It's time to get in. You're either going to sink or you're going to swim. And for me, I'm going to swim with Jesus. Because there's a real devil who opposes the truth. He doesn't want people to be saved. He wants to take them with him. But we're not of that persuasion. And we're not going to bow down to the fear of man. Amen. It's like we read in the book of Acts this morning. Whether we should obey God or man, you decide. Even if the government says you can't do that, who are we going to bow down to? We are to obey the laws of the land, are we not? But when they contradict what God says, there's a higher law. We need to do what God says. And because of that, there will be persecution. It says in verse 39 of Matthew 24 that people didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way, listen, it will be when the Son of Man comes. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah was a man who was God's voice to that generation. Are you with me? Noah was the one that God looked upon and chose to be the voice. It tells us very clearly in 2 Peter 2:5 that he saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. So Noah being God's voice for his generation. And I'm going to finish with this today. Are you okay? You, and I, there's three, four pointing back, right? We are God's voice to this generation. The question is this, whose voice are you going to listen to? The question is this, who are you going to serve? Who are you going to obey? Are you going to go with Jesus, who is the only hope that we have? How many know it's not about building churches and institutions? It's about saving lost people. It's about building people. It's about reaching out to lost people. It's about making disciples for Jesus. Amen. So that the day will come when together we're all going to rejoice with Jesus. Amen. Because you and I have been involved in bringing back a return to Jesus for his sacrifice. How many say yes to the Lord today? I want you to know I love you today. I tell you the truth because I love you. You know, folks, sometimes even we preachers, we ignore the voice of God because there's a price to pay for speaking what he's speaking. And there are many, unfortunately, today that are just speaking what they know the people want to hear. They're doing good things. Oh, yes, they're doing good things. But they're not doing the right thing. The right thing is what God is doing. The right thing is what God is saying. And if we don't hear his voice, we will be deceived. If we don't hear his voice, then all that we do, even with good intention, will be burned up. It will amount to nothing. We want our fruit to last. Amen? Amen. So let's just recommit today. Let's go for it. And we got to pull together as a church. We got to work together and encourage one another and be here. And let's work at, you know, how can I encourage my brother and my sister? How can I encourage you to run the race with perseverance? And let's get healed up. Amen. Let's get our stuff dealt with. Amen. God wants to heal. God wants to restore. Amen. But let's not make a lifestyle out of that. It's not about this perpetual getting better thing. I'm here, God. Here I am again. Here I am again. God's saying, get busy. Oh boy, he said that to me a few times. I start blubbering about all my problems, and especially when I start getting complaining. I know none of you have ever done that, but I've complained a few times, at least once. God don't like it, I'll tell you right now. And if he has to, he'll take you out behind the barn and spank you real good, because he loves you that much. Because he invested a lot in you and I, you know. He's invested a whole lot in us. He's put his divine treasure in us. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He paid in blood for us. So we should be living for him now, sold out, all the way, all in. How many are all in today?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you're not, you need to. You just need to understand, you got to get on the ark. You got to get on the ark. The ark is Jesus. It says that there was three levels on the ark. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You got to get into him. In him is life. Father, thank you today for the word. Thank you for everyone that's here. Thank you for my brothers and my sisters. Thank you, Lord, that you are working in us, that you're preparing us, that you're equipping us, that you're challenging us. Lord, that we get to do this. We get to be a part of what you're doing. We pray, hallelujah, for the fire of the Holy Spirit to burn in our hearts. Lord, burn in us with a holy passion. Lord, we just pray that you'll keep us ignited for you. Keep us, Lord, in that place of holy passion. As we are abiding in you, Lord God, in that secret place where there's no fear, there's no torment, there's no shame, there's no condemnation, but there's perfect peace. Oh, not as the world, but as you give, Lord. We will find our hope, our joy, our peace, our life. Hallelujah. In Christ alone, I place my trust. In Christ alone. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and may the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Shalom.